is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, and my co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. Seth, how is everything after getting a bye week? Did you get out of town at all? My wife and I, we did take a couple of days because this was a completely football-free weekend. Sun Devils are all done with theirs. The Cardinals didn't play, and so I had zero football commitments this weekend, so we actually got out of town.
No, I still had youth football, and it was raining, and we got to stay out there extra long because they had to move fields. So it was, even longer weekend trying to recover on Sunday this week after being out in the pouring rain for about 11 hours on Saturday. But you know what? It's been fun. One more week of games for youth football, and the Cardinals are back this week. So, and they don't play till Monday night. So again, a nice recovery day on Sunday where I don't have too much to worry about.
That's good stuff. So yeah, so this should show, obviously we don't have any wins or losses to talk about because
I mean the only loss is they somehow dropped in the NFL draft from
right.
the seventh to
so,
the eighth
so they,
pick.
So they got better, right? Is that what we're saying? So they became a draft pick better?
Yeah, right, exactly.
In the bye. They'd be giving him a pick better in the bye. So what we're going to talk about as we hit in this, because there's not much to talk about, the Cardinals did not practice at all last week. They had from Tuesday to Monday off. And they went back to the facility on Monday. And then now they're getting ready for the Patriots on Monday Night Football. So we're going to talk about kind of what's going around the division, because the quarterback situation is quite interesting, kind of handicap the divisional race the rest of the way, and to see if the Cardinals have any chance at all to get back in it. We'll look at the schedule. How many wins can we expect the rest of the way? Talk a little bit about the injuries that players could be getting over, and then preview the game against the Patriots. So let's go ahead and get started in episode 384. Division quarterback situation. The biggest news is, well, there's actually two major things. One, with the Rams, is that Matthew Stafford has gone on injured reserve, and so he will miss at least four games, and it probably gives the feeling that he has been shut down for the rest of the year now that they are 3-9, which means John Wolford as the starter, and they picked up Baker Mayfield, who was cut by the Panthers. They claimed him off waivers. Doesn't it look like, so basically the Rams have given up on this season, have they not?
Yeah, I mean, they've thrown in the towel. They know there's not any avenue for them to get to the playoffs at this point once they lost this game. So now it's just about evaluating situations. I mean, let's be honest, their season was lost when Cooper Kupp went down. They have not been able to find anybody to replace Odell Beckham Jr. Allen Robinson has been a complete bust of a signing for them. And so it's just one of those situations that you look at that you say, okay, this was, the ultimate hangover year, and maybe the chickens coming home to roost from not having a first round pick since what, 2017, I believe it is.
Something like that, yeah.
And so those things, because that's the trade-off, right?
They got the championship they got the payoff.
Right. So all the players, but that's the one thing. All the players they traded for are older. And so that's the thing. So your window's much smaller. But as you said, let's be honest, you and I right now would be like, hey, yeah, they're 3-9, but you remember that Super Bowl last year? That was awesome. Because it would be the first one ever. So maybe it's a little different because the Rams had won a Super Bowl before. But I mean, it'd been 20 years, so I don't know. I always have a hard time getting upset about going for it. But yeah, so they haven't had a first round pick since 2016. So, you know, it's not shocking to see that they're struggling, because there's two things that come from that, and Cardinals fans will understand that you can't always pay all your late round picks, because eventually when those guys hit, they get paid too much. You know, when you have them at their third round salary, it's great, right? But now when you have to pay them starting tackle money, you know, and they're only like a third round talent tackle, you're like, oh, this is tough. and then the other thing is, obviously, like I said, all of a sudden that talent gets older. I mean, a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who was maybe the best defensive back in the league for the last two seasons, all of a sudden looks really old, right? Like, he just doesn't look as good as he had in the past. And so those things all, you know, like I said, they all come home. And it's just, it's unfortunate that the Cardinals weren't able to take advantage, because you have to assume, and I know that's a very dangerous thing to do, but you have to assume that they're going to get back on track. Because, I mean, even like a Jalen Ramsey is only 28. I mean, he's not that old. And you're talking about a guy that was, you know, all pro the past two seasons. So yeah, he's having a bit of a down season from his standard, but he's, you know, he's still a good ball player. You know, Cooper Kupp's recovery is going to be a big deal. And then the Matthew Stafford situation, like you said, like, this dude, this is something we can talk about at this point. You and I got information before the season that it was recommended, and we can't confirm this, but recommended that Stafford should have had elbow surgery in the offseason.
That's actually even kind of been reported, like, not to this extent, that he really needed surgery, essentially. He needed surgery, but he wanted to play through it.
Right, and you saw the outcome, unfortunately. And, like, you know, it's nothing to be happy about. Anytime a guy has a serious injury like that where it requires surgery, and I think that was kind of the thing too, right, is he was going to be lost for the season if he had the surgery, or is going to be like a pretty long recovery if he had the surgery. So he wanted to try to play through it. He finally won a Super Bowl. He'd been, you know, burdened with being a Lion for so long. You don't want to just give that up after one season and you know, go back. And so he tried to tough it out, man. It's unfortunate it didn't work out.
Well,
for
and then he had the other, like, he has a concussion, and then he comes out of concussion, and then he gets the neck injury. And they had their magical year, and now they're paying the piper.
So let me ask you this. Does the Baker claim to you tell you that there's a long-term concern about Matthew Stafford?
I don't think so. I think at this point it's just to
throwing stuff at the wall.
I think honestly with Baker at this point, it's, hey, they got John Wolfer, they know that Bryce Perkins isn't it, and so maybe they can evaluate Baker to be something.
Yeah, I was just curious if you thought that maybe it was like, hey, like, let's just get a head start on the post Stafford evaluations,
or at least so they have, because, you know, they like Wolford, but
he's a great backup. He's in the Colt McCoy camp.
But do they like him enough to ride him out the rest of the year, honestly, I think it's more about just having a capable backup behind Wolford as opposed to anything else. I think Bryce Perkins, they realize, yeah, Bryce Perkins isn't the answer. That'd be akin to Trace McSorley starting a game, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, and I mean, let's be honest, he got smoked too in that game. So, like you said, and they were, Bryce had to come in for a couple plays, and everybody's like, oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's tough, like you said, and they've got a long, tough road back. I mean, it's not an easy thing, and they do have a lot to answer, because you're talking about a guy that's going to be 35 in February. I mean, Matthew Stafford is going to be 35 in February. And I believe they still owe him a ton of money. I don't know what retirement does to that stuff. You probably know a little better than I do. But like, you know, he basically re-upped with them. And yeah. So they're still on the hook
unless he pulls and retires, which why would you? Why would you when you've got that much money on the table?
Right. So, I mean, they're literally on the hook for basically they've got a 12 or they can get out of it after 25. So they're on the hook for three more seasons in cap hits. Like the dead cap next year, if they were to have to cut him, is $50 million. Like, that's a lot of money, man. So, yeah, I mean, so it is something to watch. That's why, you know, I was curious to get your, because I mean, like you said, unless he has, and I mean, don't get us wrong, he's made more than enough money, but I mean, he's made $300 million in his career, but you're talking about legitimately another $100 million he'd walk away from. $100 million. Like, say what you want about team and, you know, camaraderie and that, this and that. How many people walk away from $100 million?
yeah, why would you? Like, really?
Yeah. So, and then, you know, so that was, you know, the first kind of domino to fall, right? And then you get the Baker situation. And then San Francisco happens on Sunday. Yeah. And somehow they still... they still roll over what was supposed to be a really good Miami Dolphins team.
I totally thought that the 49ers, I thought that with Elijah Mitchell being hurt, McCaffrey being a little limited, I thought that the Miami offense would be good enough to get a lead, and then that would be all she wrote for the 49ers. Because they wouldn't be able to run the run game. And then Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo initially, you know, says he broke his foot and he's going to need surgery to end the season. And now the report came out on Tuesday that maybe he can return this season. I'm assuming they're thinking more playoffs, but he might try to come back for the playoffs. And so now you've got Brock Purdy as the starter in San Francisco.
But here's the thing, man. And I mean, you hit it, right? But like, here's the thing. It wasn't even that Jimmy got hurt. It was Tua Tagovailoa threw a 75-yard touchdown pass on the first play of the game. And it was 7-0, literally 10 seconds into the game. And everybody's looking around like, oh. And then Jimmy gets hurt on a sack while they're marching down the field. That takes them, you know, that forces them to kick a field goal. And you're like everybody's like, oh man, they're going to get boat raced, right? Like one play, 75 yards. Then Jimmy gets carted off the field and everybody's like, this is over. Yeah. It's 7-3. It's going to be 21-3 at halftime. Because like you said, Christian McCaffrey's banged up. Debo Samuel's banged up. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that San Francisco relies on that are banged up, and then they lose Garoppolo, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, Brock Purdy, show us what you got. And I mean, it's one of those situations where it definitely wasn't pretty, but it was effective, right? Like you got a 25 for 37 for 210 yards, two touchdowns. He threw the interception. He was sacked three times, a couple on him, right? He didn't run well. Something I thought he might have been able to do a little more of was run the ball a little bit. And it's crazy to look at it, man, because you've got in that game, you've got Christian McCaffrey, 17 for 66. You got somebody named Jordan Mason.
I saw the box score. I'm like, is really the 49ers have another one?
Yeah.
They have another running back that they can plug in and be good.
And you know, he went 8 for 51, and so you've got those two guys going for 117 yards on 25 carries. I mean, you're like, hey, it's Brock Purdy. Just make him throw the football. And but they did. I mean, let's be honest. Christian McCaffrey had 8 receptions for 80 yards. The next highest guy was Debo, who had less than 60 yards on 6 catches. I mean, Brandon Ayuk had 5 catches for 46 yards. I mean, they were everything that we hear complaints about Cliff. This was like to the nth degree, right? Like everything was a nickel and dime from Purdy, but I mean, it worked. And that's you can only do with what you have. And so now the question becomes, and you mentioned it, maybe Jimmy's back for the playoffs, right? Maybe Jimmy's back for the playoffs. But it's a big, tall ask of Brock Purdy to run the last 5-game gauntlet of the season. And you and I were talking about it off the air. San Francisco, the last 5 games, goes.
Let's break that down in our next segment. But as we look at the division right now, the Cardinals should be like, if the Cardinals had done what they're supposed to do this year, they would be in position to control this division, right? Because now you have a division of starting quarterbacks, which includes Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, and John Wolford, along with Kyler Murray. This is a big, because of how the season is going to end, it becomes a big, just hugely missed opportunities because the Cardinals couldn't get their heads out of their rear ends for the first half of the season. And, you know, even if they were kind of treading water, and they had hoped to tread water for those first 6 games. They had hoped to tread water for most of the season. They've had a lot of things go wrong that have just been super unfortunate. But getting that, you know, how they put things together for that Chargers game, if that's what they were able to do for the rest of the season, they would have been able to change that narrative and finish strong to potentially take over. Because the Rams are awful. The Seahawks have definitely come down a lot. And the 49ers, as great as they are defensively, is that defense going to make up for Brock Purdy over these final 5 games?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you look at that game against Miami, the reason they won that game is because you had Nick Bosa just going crazy. I mean, you and I talked about this. I mean, this is obviously rehashing real, real old stuff, but you and I talked about the 2019 NFL draft, right? And we knew Kyler was the pick, but when we were humoring people and we were talking about other people, I mean, I feel like you and I both agreed, and Quinnen Williams has become a very nice player, but like
Bosa
was literally the only other choice.
Right,
like
right.
This dude's a freak of nature.
If Josh Rosen had shown anything and had proven, you know, if he had shown flashes and Cliff could have developed him, then the Cardinals would be in a really, really, really good situation. But, I mean, Kyler, you can't you definitely, especially with the career that Rosen has had, you cannot feel bad about drafting Kyler Murray and the excitement that he has. This year, yeah, this side this year. So, yeah, let's...
But yeah, I mean, you look at it, like you said, if you're getting Eric Armstead back, they're getting a little healthy on defense. Their linebacking trio is just absurd. And then Nick Bosa is the best pass rusher in the game. Yeah. And that makes it a lot easier. I mean, think about this. This dude had 15 and a half sacks last year coming off a low knee and led the NFL with 21 tackles for loss. And in 11 games this year, he has 14 and a half sacks and 15 tackles for loss. Jeez. Like, he's just a monster. So, yeah, I mean, that's what they're going to rely on, because even with the Purdy win, it was not very – it wasn't a very good game itself. I mean, it just wasn't a good
coming game. Up next on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's break down the division race with the quarterback situation at the top. Is there a chance? Like, what can we pick? What can we see in the division the rest of the way? That's coming next on Rise Up Secret. They're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about kind of the division race in the NFC West. The 49ers. The 49ers are in control at 8-4. The Seahawks are 7-5. The Cardinals are 4-8. And the Rams are 3-9. It is basically a two-team race. But if we look at... But again, you've got a Seattle team that has been struggling. They did pick up a barely win over the Rams, took a last-minute touchdown. And while they had that four-game winning streak, they had lost two in a row. They, you know, they lock in ears in Munich, and then they lost in overtime to the Raiders. And suddenly that defense, which was terrible early, then came around and started playing well, suddenly doesn't look so good anymore, as they gave up 40 to the Raiders and 23 points to a hapless Rams offense that we, like, in the Cardinals defense, which is not a great defense, completely shut down the Rams offense in that game. And so as we kind of look at the division the rest of the way, the Seahawks are a game behind. They have games left. This is their schedule the rest of the way. They play Carolina this week. Carolina's bad, but not terrible right now. Their defense is really, really good. San Francisco, they've got Carolina, San Francisco. In fact, they play, let's look at this again. They play four of their final five games at home.
San Francisco?
The Seahawks. They play four of their five games at home. Home against Carolina, home against San Fran. They go to the Chiefs, Jets, and then they host the Rams. So you're looking at that schedule. I think you should, they should minimum get three more wins, right?
Well, you look at it, like you said, Carolina, that feels like an easy win. The Jets is an interesting one, and that's the one that, like, kind of sticks to me, because as much as I want to say this is an easy win, especially at home, Robert Saleh's done a nice job. He's put the Jets in a position to be a little bit more successful this year than they were last year. And he's not afraid of, you know, I guess the easiest way is, like, feeling what he needs to do to put the team in a position to win. And that was benching Zach Wilson for Mike White. And so you look at it, you know, you look at the last two games, man, and they're 1-1, which is absurd, but 466 yards of offense against the Chicago Bears, which isn't, I mean, the Bears aren't very good, let's be honest, but they had 486 yards of offense against the Vikings and held them under 300 yards and somehow lost that game. That's like the most Cliff Kingsbury thing I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, I feel like that's the coin flip, and then the other games are kind of slam dunks, like you said. Like, I don't know if they can beat San Francisco. It's at home. That gives them a better chance, but that, man, that San Francisco defense, I still don't, even though I'm a Geno Smith guy, I still don't buy the Geno Smith story yet. And then at Kansas City, there's like 0% chance I take
I'm not even, here's the thing. Seattle's been so hot and cold lately. I'm not even convinced that beating the Panthers is a foregone conclusion.
No, and that's the hard spot, because you look at it, right? Like, look at their last four games. They beat the Cardinals 31-21. They lose to Tampa Bay 21-16. Then they come out of the bye week and lose to Vegas at home 40-34. So
it took a touchdown in the final 45 seconds to beat the Rams.
Right. And so that's the thing. So they hold the Cardinals and Bucks to 21 points apiece. And go to the week before, they hold the Giants to 13. Then they give up 40 to the Raiders. And I know it happened in OT. Okay, they give up 34 in the regular game. Like, and like you said, John Wolford had them on the ropes. 23-20, they were leading. So this is a tough one. Like you said, Carolina, the Jets, and then the Rams again. And the reason I would give them the Rams at that point is because I'm assuming the Rams are going to have, like, yeah, like, do you think Aaron Donald's going to play that game? I mean, like, like that's literally the last game of the season. So like, you know, if Aaron Donald's hurting or any of these guys, yeah, they're
totally.
Gonna,
so
they're
in five
up.
Games, I think 3 wins is
max.
Yeah, probably max that they're going to get 3 wins. Max.
And that puts them
at 10 wins.
Right, which puts them out of the range of the Cardinals. But that, you know, that's is like you look at this, it's like you said, in the games were like, oh, those are probably wins Carolina and New York. Those aren't foregone conclusions. Now, I could definitely see them going 2-3, which basically gives them the division over the Cardinals because they've got the tiebreakers. Yep. But that's, you know, at least you're pushing, right? At least you're playing towards something.
And you look at the 49ers schedule, not a cakewalk. They do have, so they are at home against Tampa. And then
Tampa's defense is legit, though.
The defense is very good. But, Nick, San Francisco's defense is so good. But the difference is, you know, Tom Brady versus Brock Purdy, you wonder. They travel to Seattle. They play Washington at home. They go to the Raiders, and then they close at home against the Cardinals. They already have 8 wins. So they're 4-0 in the division. And so
I just don't see any route to catching them because they just have to win one game, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of in that scenario. And so.
And here's the thing, and it's not going to happen, so I don't want anybody, like, in 2 weeks to be like, oh, you said no. You look at with Brock Purdy in the schedule they have, you can see where they could go 0-5, like, considerably.
But that's really hard to do.
Well, especially with that defense, like you said. Like,
yeah.
Since they gave up 44 to Kansas City, it's 14-16. 10-0-17.
Yeah, their like, defense has been so good. So, yeah, it in terms of the Cardinals, I mean, if they win one game, the Cardinals can't beat them because San Francisco guaranteed, even if Cardinals beat them in Week 18, will have the divisional tiebreak over them because they've already won 4 games and the Cardinals can win one more. They can have 2 games max, one in the division. So unless the only way that the Cardinals could potentially pass the 49ers, it would mean winning out and then losing out, which seems virtually impossible. So they pick up 1 win, and you figure even with big, this is the thing, the Raiders game. Their defense, the Vegas defense is bad. So even Brock Purdy can lead them to a win because Raiders offense is good, but the San Francisco defense is legitimately good, like amazingly good. And so you can pencil in, at minimum, a win over the Raiders, and that would eliminate the Cardinals. The question then comes in is Seattle. If they get, it's reasonable that they get to 10 wins, and it's reasonable for the 49ers to get to 10 wins, just winning 2 games. And then you have to look at, well, if the 49ers pick up the win against Seattle, then that seals it basically because they'll have the head-to-head. If they pick up one more division win, then let me just check. I think Seattle is it Seattle 3-1 in the division or 2-1 standings. And so we look at the division race. So Seattle's 3-1. If they beat the 49ers and win the division and then beat the Rams, they could go 5-1 in the division. And even if the 49ers beat the Cardinals, it might come down to conference record, which we'd have to, or common games record, which we'll have to look at that later on. I think that even with San Francisco's defense, I think the Seahawks probably are in a position to overtake them unless they continue to decline.
Yeah, and I feel like there's 2 wins in that
Yeah, so, they'll probably end up both teams at 10 wins.
Yeah, I feel like...
And they'll come down to what the tiebreak is.
So everybody's got 5 games left. I'm just trying to do the count in my head. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, all right. So, I mean, that Seattle game, here's the thing. So let's say both teams win week, all right, which is not far-fetched. I mean, Tampa's going to be tough for Brock Purdy. I mean, I'm not going to lie. But let's just give them a win and then give Carolina, you know, Seattle the Carolina game. When you look at that Thursday night in Seattle in December, prime time, that just screams like coming back to earth game, doesn't it? For like a rookie that's been playing over his head. And like, I'm not saying that would be the deciding factor in the division itself, but that could be the game that like puts the onus on San Francisco of, oh, now we have to win a game. Because Seattle has the easier last 3 games. I mean, I don't think either of us would disagree with that. Outside of, I mean, obviously Kansas City's the toughest game, but you know, Washington at LA or Las Vegas and Arizona's a tough schedule comparatively to at Kansas City, New York, and LA, just because of how bad the Rams are this year. Whereas the Commanders are a playoff bubble team and the Raiders have somehow, you know, beat good teams this year, and like you said, the Raiders defense is probably porous enough where they're going to be able to score enough points, but it's also one of those things where, you know, maybe the Raiders having won 3 in a row, they get the Rams this week, you know, like all of a sudden you get a little frisky because you go Rams and then you get New England on a short week, and then you look at it and you're like, oh, maybe we can still play and make the playoffs. Whereas, you know, Seattle is going to have, like I said, we'll see where the Jets are. That'll be what's interesting. But that San Francisco game, man, that's going to be a really intriguing Thursday night football game, because I think it could tell the story of whether or not San Francisco can weather the storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we don't have to talk about the Rams, though. That's
for reals. They're done. But I think, but the sad thing is with the Cardinals is that winning out at this point, it still
doesn't do enough. It doesn't guarantee you anything. I guess it puts you on the cusp in the playoff picture, and that I mean, I know people aren't, but realistically, that's kind of all we're asking for year to year, right? Be in the hunt late. I mean, obviously, we would prefer that they be a playoff team.
But right now, they're really not in the hunt. That's the thing. They're really not in the hunt now. They're so
no.
They're on the fringe. They're like there's this glimmer of hope, and that's it. They're just mathematically not eliminated. When their reality is, they are eliminated, and so. Even if they center of winning the rest of their games. So you've got the Patriots, you've got the Broncos, you got the Buccaneers, you've got the Falcons, and you got the 49ers. Like if we look at those, we're going to talk about that next. So yeah, let's do that. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about what we expect from the Cardinals in their final 5 games. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals have 5 games left on the schedule. We know at best, the best case scenario, they're going to go 9-8, and that's if they win all 5 games. But let's recap the games they've got left on the schedule. They play 3 of their final games, 3 of 5 final games on their own, including 3 of their final 4. How many of those games can we reasonably hope that they get wins? And if I'm looking at the schedule, I mean, I believe they, if they're playing at a reasonable, the level that's reasonably close to what they played against the Chargers, 2 wins is a yeah, because they should, like, they don't beat the Broncos. Broncos and Falcons are 2 games that they should win. And I think they pick up one other one somewhere. And if that's going to be, I think this is the week that they can do that because the Patriots are super hot and cold. And we'll talk about that in that part of the show. But, you know, when the Patriots defense, like there is a very clear line as to the 20-point mark. And I'll talk about that in that part of the show. But the 20-point mark for the Patriots defensively is critical. And so, yeah. And I think the Cardinals, if they've got the offense humming like they did against the Chargers for three quarters, I think they can win that one. So I think kind of a reasonably best-case scenario is seeing them get three wins with if they upset a team that the absolute best-case scenario we could expect is probably four. But it would be like, though there is a scenario where I can see them winning all five. I think the Patriots, they can win. The Broncos, they will win. The Falcons, they should win. The 49ers, they could win. There's Brock Purdy. And then it comes down to that Tampa Bay game on Christmas Day.
And well, and San Francisco, it might be where they've clinched the division. They can't, I mean, because realistically, they're not catching. You look at it. Realistically, they're probably, I mean, this is a really, really, really strong statement. They're probably locked into third in the NFC because I don't see them catching the Eagles. And catching that Vikings team is tough, man, because they didn't play head to head. Did they? I don't think they did, but.
No, because that was for the Cardinals, that game was their place.
They got the Chicago Bears. That's right. Which they lost. So I mean, so you you look at it like they would have to go theoretically. They would have to go, 3-2, and the Vikings would have to go 0-5 the rest of the way for them to overtake the Vikings. Which again, I mean, everything could happen. Just don't see it happen. Like if the Vikings win one game, the 49ers are locked into the third place to me. But I don't see the 49ers winning four of their last five with Brock Purdy at the helm. You know, if Garoppolo comes back in 2 weeks and is 75-80%, that's a different story. But if it's Brock Purdy for 5 weeks, you know, so that's the thing, is like that Cardinals San Francisco game, it could be, who's their backup now? I don't even know if I'm being completely honest. There could be no Nick Bosa. There could be no Eric Armstead. There could be none of these guys, Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner and these guys, because they're like, hey, we got to make sure we're healthy. Because you look at it right now, in that 3-6 game, they would get the Giants, but I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be the Seahawks.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable thing. But yeah, the Cardinals, I there is a path to 9-8, but it's probably 7-10.
Well, okay, so let's say this. Obviously, it's a step back from last year, right? Yes. So 7-10 is not ideal. But like, is it fireable?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, when you give them the contract extensions, you don't think that this fireball, especially they've got there's so many things that have gone wrong this year with the roster wise. But yeah, that comes down to the core, is like, is it fireable? Well, are they going to fire the general manager?
Well, that goes back to what we talked about last week, right?
So like, if you're not going to fire Kine, then why? Why get rid of Kingsbury? Why?
Right. And so that's what it comes down to. But like, yeah, I mean, I think three is reasonable to expect. And some people might say, well, that's expecting a lot from this team. And maybe it is. I mean, let's be honest. Maybe it is. You know, this is a very similar situation to Arians. I think it was 17, right? His last year, where they were, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, because they finished 8-8. And they were 4-6. Now, a little better than 4-8, but they were 4-6. And then they kind of like just flip flopped every game until they got to 6-8 when they lost to Washington in that dumb hell game where there was under 500 total yards of offense between the two teams, and you're like, what are we watching? And then they go and beat the Giants in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
And that was Seattle when Seattle was competing for a playoff spot and everything. So
you got the Drew Stanton win just as a
and they kind of knew it was BA's last game, and they're fighting for a playoff spot, and if they win that game, they're in the playoffs. And so yeah, just one of those situations, right? That's kind of what this reminds me of. Outside of, you know, I know they're 4-8, so you're like, well, they can't get to, but I mean, if they end up at 7-10 or 8-9, like you're saying, like, it's not ideal. Don't get me wrong. Like, they should have been a better team, and there are games you're going to look back at, right? You're going to look back at the first Rams game and be like, how do you have 365 yards of offense and score 12 points? You're going to look back at the Eagles game and go, why did Steve Keim hire a kicker that can't kick more than 35 yards?
The Seahawks game were the 9 points.
Right. And you're gonna look back at the
Chargers game, the stupid Chargers game,
right? The Chargers game, and be like, what were we doing there? I mean, those are three games right now. And by the way, those are all one score games. So they're 2-6 in one score games. You know, if they're 4-2, they're six and six,
and very much in the middle of things,
right? And that's just kind of it. They've got to find a way to end this season on a positive note. And I think 7 wins is something that you can look at and say, okay, you know, yeah, they went 3-2 down the stretch, but they went 7-10, but they ended 3-2 down the stretch. They won games that they were supposed to win, and they snuck one out against, like you said, New England, or, you know, and then if they end up 4-1 down the stretch, you go, hey, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Like, there are specific moments in games you can look back at and say, if these things are different, this team is, you know, vying for a playoff spot. I don't buy the Giants. I don't buy the Commanders, you know.
And then they go in literally.
Tie. I know, right? The worst possible outcome for the Cardinals playoff perspective. Yeah.
Like, that was the thing. They needed one of those teams to win to kind of help them, and they literally tied. You think everything yeah. about this year.
Well, and that's what I said. Like, the hardest thing about this season, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, the hardest thing about the season is how bad the rest of the NFL is. Like, you look at the NFL in general, there's like 3, maybe 4 good teams. Like, you look at it, you're like, okay, the Eagles are good. Like, they've shown they're real. The Vikings are the worst 10-win team in NFL history. Literally, statistically speaking, they are the worst 10-win team in their first 12 games in NFL history. They have the lowest point differential in NFL history for a 10-win team. Lowest. That's absurd. Like, they're just hanging on by the skin of their teeth. They're the 2021 Cardinals. You know, the 49ers look like they were getting ready to turn into a powerhouse, and now they got the Brock. All right. So
we know Kyle Shanahan with anyone else, 9-29.
Right. And then you go to the AFC and you got the Bills and the Chiefs, and like, and then you have the Bengals situation where you're like, well, they own the Chiefs, right?
Like, the Bengals, are they good? Yeah. And then you've got the
Dolphins.
The Dolphins are they good?
Right. And that's the thing. You look at the same thing with like the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 9-3, but let's be honest, how many people
can you trust? Well,
and are you like, if you are betting money in week one of the NFL playoffs, are you taking Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, or are you taking the Dallas Cowboys?
Ooh.
Like, and that's right now who they're going to face, because they're not catching the Eagles, most likely. So, and the Buccaneers are going to be the 4 seed. so the Cowboys' best chance is.
And like the Cowboys honestly are the team that should roll away, like run away with the conference, because right. they have all the pieces, but they're so freaking inconsistent. And Philly, what the heck, Philly? They're just. Yeah.
That win last week for Philly was the most impressive.
I believed that Tennessee, because Tennessee is that wild card team against all these high powered offensive teams because they play well defensively and then they can control the clock. And
yeah. Well, and by the way, I mean, I know this is not a Titans podcast, but you want to see ownership in action. John Robinson getting fired by Tennessee is like berserk, like mind blowing. Like they're literally going to win the conference or the division for, I think, like the, what is it? Fourth straight season.
Yeah.
Fourth straight season. They're going to make the playoffs for the fifth straight season.
And they fired the GM.
And they're going to have a winning record for the seventh straight season. And they fired the GM. Like they haven't had a losing record since good old Ken Wisenhunt in 2015.
Oh wow.
The Cardinals have one winning season since 2015. Like, and so that's the thing. So that's what it looks like, man. That John Robinson gets canned, and you know, and you look at it and you go, oh, okay, like and here's the thing. We don't know if it's going to work. This is, you know, Tennessee doing something desperate. We'll see if it works, right? Like if it's all Vrabel, then that's all good. But man, that's a ballsy move for a team that has really, really been at the top of their division for the last five or four seasons. And, you know, I don't even know if I would have made that move if I'm the Tennessee owner, who I don't know who it is, but you know.
All right, coming next to the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on. Looking ahead this week, got some injuries. Who's coming back? Who's probably not coming back? That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. You're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Got an injury situation. The first injury report of the week won't come out until Thursday because this is a Monday night game this coming this week. But we do know of a few things, and Cliff Kingsbury on Tuesday spoke about some of them. Let's give you the quick rundown. The offensive linemen, Will Hernandez and Rodney Hudson, appear to be on their way back. Although he did say that it's probably not going to be this week and much more likely next week. I can tell you for a fact, of course they're not coming back this week. They haven't been out four games. The IR rules require players to miss four games, not 4 weeks. So they're not even eligible to return this week. That said, the one thing I like about the news about this is the Rodney Hudson news first and foremost, because it shows fans who think he's just collecting a paycheck, the dude wants to play, he's trying to play, and the issue is his physical health, which, as I've said before, I believe was the major concern of why he did not know whether he was going to play this year, because of a bum knee that has since been a problem since training camp. And so his body is beginning to break down. The knee wasn't right, and he still came back. And guess what? When you make a guy who's got a nagging injury and his age at his size, guess what? He's going to miss games. But it's not like the Cardinals had a better option at the time.
No, and that's the thing. How do you think it would have played out if they ended up getting the kid that...
Linderbaum?
Cam Jurgens, that they that they allegedly were going to draft in the second round.
Yeah, they were going to get Jurgens in the second round. That would be... I mean, maybe we would be excited, because we get to see a player develop with some talent as opposed to, you know, watching Sean Harlow struggle and Billy Price.
Going to sign Billy Price off the freaking scrap heap.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But, and so that's the thing is, like, then you probably aren't even thinking about Hudson, right? You're like, oh, it worked out. They prepped, you know, and again, best laid plans. That's who they wanted. It didn't work out. It is what it is. And we talked about this, man. It's a twofer thing, right, with poor Rodney. And the first is obviously his age, like you brought up. I mean, it's really tough for a 33, 34-year-old man to come back from a what is probably a degenerative, and I'm just speculating, but, you know, a degenerative knee issue that he's dealing with. When you're talking about this much work, right? Like, it's got to be something that's tough. And so you have that, and then you have the fact, and I've told you about this before, like, the reason these guys lose weight so fast when they get out of the NFL, especially linemen, is because their body has to have it. And so him trying to maintain his, because he's like 330, isn't he?
He's about, I think, 315.
So, I mean, him trying to maintain 315 pounds is a lot, because you have to remember, he's only 6'2". So he's legitimately my height. And this dude weighs 60 pounds more than I do. I know how my body feels after standing for 11 hours coaching football on the sidelines. I can't imagine. And I've blown out my knee. Like, so I have blown out my knee when I played in high school. And like, I know, like, what I'm 17 years, no, 20 years post surgery on my knee. So like, my time for regular knee surgery is coming. I can't imagine what a guy that's carrying extra 60 pounds has to maintain it. Cause that's what I understand is, like, it's easy to rehab, and easy, a strong word, obviously. It's easy to rehab. It's a lot harder to rehab while you're having to maintain your weight and get at a level where you have to play center in the NFL while also trying to get healthy so you can move laterally and things of that nature. And just, I mean, the fact he's even trying it shows that, like, yeah, he's still in it. This is a dude that wanted to finish, you know, if this is his last season, he wanted to finish his career on the field, not on the side.
Yeah, and so he wasn't sloughing around. Now, the Cardinals also have players coming back. So they've got the receivers, Greg Dortch and Rod Moore. Rondale Moore had the groin injury, Dortch with the thumb injury. It sounds like Dortch will probably be able to, they'll be able to play. He'll probably be able to play. Rondale Moore is going to be more of a stretch, and he will be day-to-day with his back injury. Now, what's interesting is what we're going to see playing out is, where are their other injuries? The Cardinals worked out punter long snappers last week, which right? Raised some red flags, unless they're just scouting for next year because both are free agents.
And let's be honest, I like Andy Lee and Aaron Brewer, but both should have been replaced by now. I get if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but man, keep running back guys that are in their upper 30s is just asking for it. But yeah, that's a really interesting thing. Like, is that what your speculation is? Because we don't have, like, we're legitimately saying we have no insight into this.
Unless it was just, I'm guessing, because I think this is the time of year when they start bringing in players to look for future contracts, to sign them in the
offseason. Futures, yeah.
And so yeah, I think futures. That's part of it. Like, today, Tuesday, they had quarterback Carson Strong in among some of the players they brought in. But I think it's just that time of year. December is evaluation. If that said, I'm like, wait a minute, punters and long snappers, did they get sick?
Right,
did exactly. Someone get hurt? And then they re-sign Michael Dogby and Blake Lynch to the practice squad. You're like, okay, does that mean that there's an injury? There's a new injury on the defensive line at the linebacker position. Because Cliff Kingsbury doesn't just give that information up.
No,
he only will talk about it if someone asks him about it. And those were known injuries, and so they were asking about that. Any new injuries, he'd probably say, well, you'll see the first injury report on Thursday. So, yeah.
Well, and that's one of those situations too, man, where, like, we were, Justin and I actually talked about it on last night's podcast. Cliff is a college guy at heart, and that's one of the biggest things from college guys is that they never have to talk about injuries, ever. Like, they don't have to disclose injuries. So, like, we were talking specifically about Ohio State's Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's been out for virtually the entire season, and he was a lot of people's wide receiver one coming into the season. He took a hit, but he's had something wrong with his leg. Like, he took a hit to the head, but he's had something wrong with his leg all season. And he's finally said like he's not going to play in the college football playoffs, and he's going to just get ready for the NFL draft, and it's going to take that long for him to get healthy. So you're like, what in the hell? So remember, that's where Cliff comes from, where they're like, oh, I don't tell you anything, you know, like, and so that's been one of Cliff's things from the beginning, is he's like, I'm going to give you as much information as I need to give you, and I'm not giving you anything. Like, that's just, exactly. That's just who I am.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So that basically wraps up the injury section. So next on the Rise Up Series podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the weather. Let's wrap this up and talk about the Cardinals and Patriots, their preview this weekend. Not on the weekend, but wrapping up week 14 on Monday Night Football. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals are going to host the 6-6 Patriots, an interestingly inconsistent team.
I don't know how this team has a better record than the Cardinals.
Here is the kind of the money stat where you look at that. So the Patriots haven't allowed more than 17 points in their 6 wins. In fact, in their 6 wins, they're giving up only 8.7 points per game, right? That's amazing. So their defense is either great or it's terrible. In their 6 losses, they're giving up an average of 29 points a game.
Oh, that's like the Cardinals, man.
Yeah, it's the 20 point mark is the linchpin. The Pats do not have a win in which their opponent scored 20 points. And so that's going to be that's kind of it. So if the Cardinals can get to 20 points, the good chance they're going to win the game. And then you look at the other money stat. There was a perfect money stat until the Chargers game. The Cardinals entering the Chargers game were 4-0 if they held their opponent to under 100 rushing yards, and 0-7 when they hit the century mark. That stat changed because the Chargers came back and won that game, and they rushed for like 65 yards as a team. So they're 4-1 when they keep their opponents under 100 rushing yards, and 0-7 when they get 100 or more. The Cardinals are 3-1 when they rush for at least 130 yards as a team. And, you know, we know that. And also, that's the other money stat, is that the Pats have allowed at least 130 rushing yards in all 6 of their losses. So run game overall kind of becomes the critical point there, is can they move the ball, one, and if the Cardinals are able to move the ball, we know that the running game will be working.
So let me ask you this. They are, as you said, they're super inconsistent. Their wins are 2 over the New York Jets. Both of those games, I believe Zach Wilson started. The second of which, by the way, Zach Wilson and the Jets offense had 103 yards of total offense in that game. So that was not good for those of you scoring
at
home.
Yeah, they won that on a last-second punt return for a touchdown.
Right, right. Yeah, so Zach Wilson started both of those games. Zach Wilson is legitimately an awful quarterback. They beat the Cleveland Browns with Jacoby Brissett. The Browns have been super inconsistent.
Their best game was against the Lions, honestly.
Right. And so, like, they beat the Steelers, the Colts, and the Lions. And like you said, that Lions game was, you're like, where did that come from? 29-0?
Right. And that was like, that was the game, because you're like, well, the Lions, they've been scoring 30 points plus a game. Then they get blanked. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. And you look at it, I mean, that's the thing, is like you said, their defense, when it's on, it's on. I mean, they have 3 games this season where they've given up less than 250 yards of offense. Total, 250 total yards of offense. They have 2 games where they've given up less than 125 yards of total offense, which is absurd. But that was the Colts and the Jets, so I don't even know what to make of it. So that's the thing, is like, you don't know what you're getting. Then you look at their total yards. They only have 5 games of over 300 yards of offense. They're 3-2 in those games. So it's not like
they're so bad offensively.
Right.
But which makes this game, I the matchup feels like it's good because their defense is great or not great. And if the Cardinals offense is executing the way it did against the Chargers, I think the Cardinals will be in a good place.
Yeah, you would have to think that they feel like they're in a good spot to win this game. I mean, the big things come down to, like you said, offensively, if they hit that 300-yard mark offensively, it's tough for the Pats to win. You look at it, you know, their wins again in games are the Lions, which, by the way, this is the other thing. The Lions and the Browns, those games that they won, six turnovers they created. So that's the other thing. And maybe everybody's going to go, well, duh, don't turn over the football. So there are three wins in games where they've allowed over 300 yards. Sorry, nine turnovers total. Nine. So that's how they win. Like, they either completely shut you down on defense, because the games where the offenses had less than 125 yards, they created one turnover. So they're either bend and break, bend but don't break, causing turnovers, or they're complete like the 85 Bears. Like, there's like there's no margin for to calculate on this team. And so that's the thing, is if the Cardinals on Monday Night Football, that's the first thing you look at, right? Monday Night Football. If the Cardinals on Monday Night Football get going, they should be in a good spot. If the Cardinals are able to create offense, they're in a good spot. All of those things are keys. The other thing is this. The Patriots, who are under Bill Belichick, obviously much more accustomed to primetime, are 0-3 in primetime, and they have two primetime games left. Now, I think their Patriots Raiders got flexed, not taken. They're 0-3 in primetime, and in those three games, they've given up 33 points to the Vikings, who we talked about earlier. They gave up 33 points to the Chicago Bears, and then they gave up 24 last Thursday and looked like a JV team playing against the Buffalo Bills. So that's something to think about, because they have not shown up in primetime games this year, which is super odd for a Bill Belichick team, right? Because they typically have 3, 4, 5, and they were supposed to have 5 this year. They're down to 4. They're supposed to have 4 or 5 every year, and they usually go like 4-1 or 5-0 in those games, because Bill Belichick's the master. And so it's just been an odd season for this, to see how they're playing. The Cardinals have the team, they have the ability to win this game. It's going to come down to a couple things. The first thing is going to be, like you said, can they get going offensively? Matthew Judon has been playing almost as well as Nick Bosa.
13 sacks. Now, interestingly enough, Josh Jones has yet to allow a sack this season. And this looked pretty all right at left tackle
right
this year.
And so the other thing is the Patriots linebackers are kind of slow this year. And so that begs the question, if, you know, Juwan Bentley's really, so I don't, you know, not all of them, but like Jelani Tavai and Mac Wilson, like these guys, like they're not the fly around guys that you're used to. So it'll be interesting to watch if they can, how they corral Kyler Murray, because here's the thing. Justin Fields made them look silly in that game, like legitimately made them look silly. And so while Kyler doesn't run for yardage in a similar way. He creates havoc in a similar way, making them chase. And so are they going to be able to contain Kyler? Judon gives them a great, you know, singular pass rush. Josh Uche. I'm not familiar. I don't remember how to say it. He's got 7 sacks in his third year out of Michigan. And then Dietrich Weiss seems like he's been around forever, right? Like, and he's having his best year of his career with 6.5 sacks for the Pats. So that's the thing, is like, these guys have the talent up front to cause havoc. Where they struggle is kind of in the secondary. They haven't, you know, Jonathan Jones is a good one, but Jalen Mills has struggled this year. Jack Jones, the ASU product, has been up and down. You know, Adrian Phillips and Marcus Jones are kind of hit and miss. And so are the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins and Marquise Brown able to take advantage of it? At the end of the day, I mean, as simple as it sounds, if you create space for Kyler Murray and allow him to attack, I think the Cardinals win this game. If you end up having to go max protect, or, you know, can't protect Murray, that's the type of game that the Patriots are able to win typically. I think the Cardinals can do that this week. I think they get a 27-17 win.
And I've got them picking up a 24-20 win. I believe that they will have some of the same success that they had offensively against the Chargers. The difference will be they both ran out in their last 3 possessions in the fourth quarter. So, and had they picked up 1 or 2 first downs in that one, they would have won that game. You'd be looking at instead of a 4-18, a 5-7 team beating the Pats, going to 6-7, and then actually, well, and then you feel like with what's happening in the division, you feel like they can make some waves.
Well, and the crazy thing is, if you think about it, man, if they're 5-7, they're legitimately like in the playoff picture. So, I mean, this is what I said. At the end of the day, I think my frustration with this season has been more that all these other teams are so bad. Why did you pick the same year to be bad?
Exactly. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. The best of our Cardinals talk on this episode 384. Looking forward to the Cardinals playing at home on Monday Night Football in State Farm Stadium. Get out to the field. Show up in the Cardinals red or black or whatever. Just show up. Show up so we don't get a bunch of Patriots fans at the stadium. And we'll be back next week talking about this game, looking ahead to their game against the Broncos. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red. Whoa!